If you were with us a couple of weeks ago on Sunday evening when we began looking at the book of Numbers, we saw in those opening two chapters the census that was taken of the sons of Israel, and we saw something about the arrangement of the camp, and we considered there how this situation of things demonstrated the fulfillment of the divine promise where the Lord had said that he would dwell in the midst of his people. We saw there explicitly in chapter 1, verses 47 and following, that the Levites were not included in that census that was taken there in chapters 1 and 2. They were to camp around the tabernacle and the furnishings of the tabernacle. And what was stated there so briefly at the end of chapter 1, in terms of the duties of the Levites, is here expanded on in chapters 3 and 4. Now, before beginning to read the text of Numbers chapter 3, I want to give you a sense of the overall flow of chapters 3 and 4. Chapter 3 begins by speaking about the priests, Aaron and his sons, and it tells us that the Levites were given to Aaron and his sons to do the service of the tabernacle. In particular, as chapters 3 and 4 go on to explain, they were to aid in the transportation of the tabernacle. This taking of the Levites from the sons of Israel for the Lord's service is described in chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, in such a way as to say that they were taken in place of the firstborn from the rest of the tribes of Israel. And then what follows is a census of the three sections of the tribe of Levi, corresponding to the three sons of Levi. Those three sons were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The census figures are given for those portions of the tribe, along with a thumbnail sketch of their duties and where they are to camp with respect to the tabernacle. They're given a specific location in which they are to camp. And chapter 3 ends with a reconciliation of sorts, in that when the number of the Levites were counted and were compared with the number of the firstborn of Israel from the rest of the tribes, there were not enough Levites to substitute for all of those firstborn from the rest of Israel. And so, therefore, those who were of the sons of Israel in excess of the Levites had to be redeemed with money. And then if chapter 3 gives us a thumbnail sketch of what those three branches of the tribe of Levi were to do with respect to the tabernacle, then chapter 4 elaborates on those duties at greater length and gives a census of the men who were to perform those tasks. That is, a census of the men from those three sections of the tribe of Levi who were between the ages of 30 and 50. So with that kind of giving us the roadmap, so to speak, of chapters 3 and 4, let's look to the text first of Numbers chapter 3. So let's turn there and we'll look at Numbers chapter 3. Moses writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Now these are the records of the generations of Aaron and Moses at the time when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. These then are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests, whom he ordained to serve as priests. But Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. So Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests in the lifetime of their father Aaron. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Bring the tribe of Levi near and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. They shall perform the duties for him and for the whole congregation before the tent of meeting to do the service of the tabernacle. They shall also keep all the furnishings of the tent of meeting, along with the duties of the sons of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. You shall thus give the Levites to Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given to him from among the sons of Israel. You shall appoint Aaron and his sons that they may keep their priesthood. but the layman who comes near shall be put to death. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel, instead of every firstborn, the first issue of the womb among the sons of Israel. So the Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, from man to beast, they shall be mine. I am the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, Number the sons of Levi by their fathers' households, by their families. Every male from a month old and upward you shall number. So Moses numbered them, according to the word of the Lord, just as he had been commanded. These then are the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. These are the names of the sons of Gershon by their families, Libni and Shimei, and the sons of Kohath by their families, Amram and Izhar, Hebron and Uziel, and the sons of Merari by their families, Mali and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to their fathers' households. Of Gershon was the family of the Libnites and the family of the Shimeites. These were the families of the Gershonites. They are numbered men in the numbering of every male from a month old and upward, even their numbered men were 7,500. The families of the Gershonites were to camp behind the tabernacle westward, and the leader of the fathers' households of the Gershonites was Eliasaph, the son of Lael. Now the duties of the sons of Gershon in the tent of meeting involved the tabernacle and the tent, its covering, and the screen for the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the hangings of the court, and the screen for the doorway of the court, which is around the tabernacle, and the altar and its cords, according to all the service concerning them. Of Kohath was the family of the Amramites, and the family of the Izharites, and the family of the Hebronites, and the family of the Uzielites. These were the families of the Kohathites. In the numbering of every male from a month old and upward, there were 8,600, performing the duties of the sanctuary. The families of the sons of Kohath were to camp on the southward side of the tabernacle, and the leader of the father's households of the Kohathite families was Elizaphan, the son of Uziel. Now their duties involved the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the utensils of the sanctuary with which they minister, and the screen, and all the service concerning them. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, was chief of the leaders of Levi, and had the oversight of those who performed the duties of the sanctuary. Of Merari was the family of the Malites and the family of the Mushites. These were the families of Merari. Their numbered men, in the numbering of every male from a month old and upward, were 6,200. The leader of the father's households of the families of Merari was Zuriel, the son of Abihail. They were to camp on the northward side of the tabernacle. Now the appointed duties of the sons of Merari involved the frames of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, all its equipment, and the service concerning them, and the pillars around the court with their sockets and their pegs and their cords. Now those who were to camp before the tabernacle eastward, before the tent of meeting toward the sunrise, are Moses and Aaron and his sons, performing the duties of the sanctuary for the obligation of the sons of Israel. But the layman coming near was to be put to death. All the numbered men of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron numbered at the command of the Lord by their families, every male from a month old and upward, were 22,000. Then the Lord said to Moses, Number every firstborn male of the sons of Israel from a month old and upward, and make a list of their names. You shall take the Levites for me. I am the Lord. Instead of all the firstborn of the sons of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, instead of all the firstborn among the cattle of the sons of Israel. So Moses numbered all the firstborn of the sons of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded him, and all the firstborn males by the number of names from a month old and upward, for their numbered men were 22,273. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the Levites, instead of all the firstborn among the sons of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. for the ransom of the 273 of the firstborn of the sons of Israel who are in excess beyond the Levites, you shall take 5 shekels apiece per head. You shall take them in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And give the money, the ransom of those who are in excess among them, to Aaron and to his sons. So Moses took the ransom money from those who were in excess, beyond those ransomed by the Levites, from the firstborn of the sons of Israel. He took the money in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary, 1,365. Then Moses gave the ransom money to Aaron and to his sons at the command of the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, one of the themes that shows up in Numbers chapter 3, and shows up in Numbers chapter 4 as well, is the holiness of God. Lord willing, we'll circle around to that when we get to chapter 4. But here in chapter 3, one thing that I would point out to your attention is the priority that is given to the east side of the tabernacle. The east side is the direction that the tabernacle faced. This was the direction that the doors of the tabernacle were directed. And so, in one sense, whoever was camping on that side was given a priority of sorts. The tabernacle is obviously the center of the camp. The priests and the Levites camped immediately around the tabernacle, and then outward from them would be the 12 tribes. In the arrangement of the Levites, we find here in chapter 3 that the Gershonites camped on the west side, which is referred to in chapter 3, verse 23, as being behind the tabernacle. So you've got the front, the east side. Gershonites are on the back. They're on the west side. The Kohathites are on the south side of the tabernacle, chapter 3, verse 29. The family of Merari is on the north side of the tabernacle, chapter 3, verse 35. But on the east side of the tabernacle, toward the sunrise, were Moses and Aaron and the sons of Aaron. The entrance to the tabernacle was guarded, as it were, by the priests. They were to be there, they were to make sure that nothing untoward happened. Nobody went in who shouldn't go in, and so forth. It may also be of some significance that in the outer arrangement of the tribes, the camp of Judah was also on the east side. To use the language of 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2, Judah prevailed over his brothers, and from him came the leader. And in that, I would just point out that the tribe of Judah, from which the line of Davidic kings would come, culminating in our Lord Jesus Christ, the tribe of Judah is aligned with the priest, which is also aligned with the entrance to the tabernacle. Now, hear me out on this. I don't want to draw unwarranted significance from the details of Scripture and add significance where the Holy Spirit never intended significance to be found. And as far as I know, the Scriptures never explicitly connect all of those dots, right? The camp of Judah is the east side, the Levites on the east side, the opening of the tabernacle on the east side, therefore draw some line of connection between those dots. But with those caveats being made, allow me just to say that I think there just might be some typological significance here, pointing to Christ, our priest king, who has himself entered the true Holy of Holies in heaven, and by whose blood we ourselves may have confidence to enter into the most holy place by a new and living way open for us. Again, I don't want to read too much into the details or make too much of coincidental circumstances, but on the other hand, I would also point out that the arrangement of the camp was not accidental. It wasn't free-for-all. Hey, set up your tents wherever you want, like it's going to be out here next Friday night. There was an intentional plan. The Lord commanded where the tribes were to camp, commanded Judah to be on the east side. He commanded where the branches of the Levites were to camp and the priests on the east side. So this was ordained and commanded by God. It may also be worth noting that the eschatological temple described in Ezekiel 47 also faces to the east. You find that in Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Now, let's also consider here from chapter 3 the redemption of the firstborn, which is described here in this chapter. The Lord had told Moses in verses 12 and 13 that he had taken the Levites in place of the firstborn of the Israelites. Every firstborn belonged to the Lord. In connection with the Passover, when he struck down the firstborn of Egypt, he set apart the firstborn of Israel to himself. You see this explicitly in the book of Exodus, places like Exodus 13:2, Exodus 13, verses 11 through 15, Exodus 22, verses 29 and 30, and Exodus 34, verses 19 and 20. And here, the way of redemption is by direct substitution. A Levite is given to the Lord's service in place of a firstborn Israelite. Now, the censuses of the three families of the Levites, as they are taken, that total count is given in verse 39 as 22,000. Now, if you add up the previous totals that were given, the total from the Gershonites, the Kohathites, and the Merarites, 7,500 Gershonites, 8,600 Kohathites, and 6,200 Merarites, you actually end up with a total of 22,300. So if you actually look through the subdivisions, you come up with 22,300. Verse 39 gives the total as 22,000. Now, various solutions have been proposed to account for the difference. I find particularly attractive that solution proposed by John Gill, who was following the Talmud. I think the Mishnah also pointed in this direction. And Gill put it this way. He said, the reason why 300 are left out in the sum total may be because there were so many firstborn among the Levites. And these could not be exchanged for the firstborn of the other tribes. They, as such, belonged, being the Lord's, and one firstborn could not redeem another. And so it is said in the Talmud, these 300 were firstborn, and there is no firstborn redeems a firstborn or frees from the redemption price of 5 shekels. In other words, 300 of these Levite males may have been themselves firstborn among the Levites, and they, for that reason, being firstborn, already belonged to the Lord and could not be used in substitution for the redemption of the firstborn of Israel. As the chapter wraps up, we find that the numbers of the Levites from 1 month old and upward were pretty close to the number of firstborn males from the rest of Israel. As we see, there were 273 firstborn Israelites in excess of the number of the Levites, and so these 273 had to be redeemed with money, 5 shekels apiece, and the money then is handed to the priests. Now, more could be said about redemption than I will say tonight, but suffice it to say, these firstborn of Israel were redeemed according to the commandment of God, either by another man directly substituting for them, taking their place, or they were redeemed by money. The redemption of the firstborn. It's worth noting, as we read earlier tonight from Hebrews 12, that Hebrews 12:23 speaks of the universal church as the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. In the Old Testament, it was the firstborn who were redeemed. The firstborn are the ones who belong to the Lord, even as the Lord had referred to the entire nation of Israel as his firstborn. Exodus 4:22 and 23, where the Lord says, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Let my son go that he may serve me. And even so, the universal church now is spoken of as the firstborn of the Lord, set apart for his service, redeemed. But we're redeemed, as Peter says, not with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. And as we saw this morning from 1 Corinthians 6, our redemption has implications, right? Implications for our bodies, implications for our life, implications all down the line. We are the church of the firstborn, we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Now let's look ahead to Numbers chapter 4. Pick up reading Numbers 4, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Take a census of the descendants of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, by their families, by their fathers' households, from 30 years old and upward, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do the work in the tent of meeting. This is the work of the descendants of Kohath in the tent of meeting, concerning the most holy things. When the camp sets out, Aaron and his sons shall go in, and they shall take down the veil of the screen and cover the ark of the testimony with it, and they shall lay a covering of porpoise skin on it, and shall spread over it a cloth of pure blue, and shall insert its poles. Over the table of the bread of the presence they shall also spread a cloth of blue, and put on it the dishes and the pans and the sacrificial bowls and the jars for the drink offering, and the continual bread shall be on it. They shall spread over them a cloth of scarlet material and cover the same with a covering of porpoise skin, and they shall insert its poles. Then they shall take a blue cloth and cover the lampstand for the light, along with its lamps and its snuffers and its trays and all its oil vessels by which they serve it. And they shall put it and all its utensils in a covering of porpoise skin and shall put it on the carrying bars. Over the golden altar they shall spread a blue cloth and cover it with a covering of porpoise skin and shall insert its poles. And they shall take all the utensils of service with which they serve in the sanctuary and put them in a blue cloth and cover them with a covering of porpoise skin and put them on the carrying bars. Then they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth over it. They shall also put on it all its utensils by which they serve in connection with it, the fire pans, the forks, the shovels, and the basins, and all utensils of the altar, and they shall spread a cover of porpoise skin over it and insert its poles. When Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy objects and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is to set out, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, so that they will not touch the holy objects and die. These are the things in the tent of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. The responsibility of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, is the oil for the light, and the fragrant incense, and the continual grain offering, and the anointing oil. The responsibility of the tabernacle, and of all that is in it, with the sanctuary and its furnishings. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Do not let the tribe of the families of the Kohathites be cut off from among the Levites, but do this to them, that they may live and not die when they approach the most holy objects. Aaron and his sons shall go in, and assign to each of them to his work and to his load, but they shall not go in to see the holy objects, even for a moment, or they will die." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take a census of the sons of Gershon, also by their fathers' households, by their families, from 30 years old and upward to 50 years old, and you shall number them, all who enter to perform the service to do the work of the tent of meeting. This is the service of the families of the Gershonites in serving and in carrying. They shall carry the curtains of the tabernacle and the tent of meeting with its covering and the covering of the porpoise skin that is on top of it and the screen for the doorway and the tent of meeting, and the hangings of the court, and the screen for the doorway of the gate of the court, which is around the tabernacle and the altar, and their cords, and all the equipment for their service, and all that is to be done, they shall perform. All the service of the sons of the Gershonites, in all their loads, and in all their work, shall be performed at the command of Aaron and his sons, and you shall assign to them as a duty all their loads. This is the service of the families of the sons of the Gershonites in the tent of meeting, and their duties shall be under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. As for the sons of Merari, you shall number them by their families, by their fathers' households, from 30 years old and upward, even to 50 years old. You shall number them, everyone who enters the service to do the work of the tent of meeting. Now this is the duty of their loads. For all their service in the tent of meeting, the boards of the tabernacle and its bars and its pillars and its sockets and the pillars around the court and their sockets and their pegs and their cords with all their equipment and with all their service. And you shall assign each man by name the items he is to carry. This is the service of the families of Merari, according to all their service in the tent of meeting, under the direction of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. So Moses and Aaron and the leaders of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites by their families, by their father's households, from 30 years and upward even to 50 years old. Everyone who entered the service for the work of the tent of meeting, their numbered men by their families were 2,750. These are the numbered men of the Kohathite families, everyone who was serving in the tent of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord through Moses. The numbered men of the sons of Gershon, by their families and by their father's households, from 30 years old upward even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for the work of the tent of meeting. Their numbered men, by their families, by their father's households, were 2,630. These are the numbered men of the families of the sons of Gershon, everyone who was serving in the tent of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord. The numbered men of the families of the sons of Merari, by their families, by their father's households, from 30 years old upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for the work of the tent of meeting, their numbered men, by their families, were 3,200. These are the numbered men of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered, according to the commandment of the Lord through Moses. All the numbered men of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron and the leaders of Israel numbered, by their families and by their fathers' households, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who could enter to do the work of service and the work of carrying in the tent of meeting, their numbered men were 8,580. According to the commandment of the Lord through Moses, they were numbered, everyone by his serving or carrying. Thus, these were his numbered men, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, as I mentioned at the outset, Numbers 4 here elaborates on the duties that are given to these particular families of the Levites. The Kohathites come up first in the chapter, and it is to them that is given a priority among the tasks that are laid out here for the tabernacle. As we'll see in a moment, the other two families work with the transportation of the tent of meeting itself, with the screens, the curtains, the boards, and the bars. The Kohathites, on the other hand, are tasked with carrying the holy objects of the tabernacle. Things like the Ark of the Covenant, verse 5, the table, the bread of the presence, verse 7, the lampstand, verse 9, the golden altar, verse 11. And in a way, this kind of makes sense that the Kohathites would be the ones who were entrusted with the holy objects of the tabernacle. They are, after all, the branch of the Levite family from which Moses and Aaron descended. Moses and Aaron themselves were from that branch of the Levite family. And we find that in Exodus 6, verses 18 through 20. The task of the Gershonites is given there in verses 25 and 26. They carry the curtains of the tabernacle and the tent of meeting and its covering and the covering of porpoise skin that was on top of it, the screen for the doorway of the tent, the hangings of the court, the screen for the doorway of the gate of the court, along with cords and equipment. The task of the Merarites is there in verses 31 and 32. They're responsible for transporting the boards of the tabernacle, the bars, the pillars, sockets, and so on. In other words, they carry the lumber and the hardware of the tabernacle. While that may not seem particularly romantic to carry the lumber and the hardware, I would just point out in passing that this is nevertheless important. The tabernacle is not going to stand up without the lumber, the boards, the bars, and so forth. And even so, in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 and following, we find that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. That there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. Just as there were different duties here in the Old Testament camp of Israel with respect to the tabernacle, there are also different duties given in the life of the church. And every one of them is important. In all of this, though, it is noteworthy how we see again and again in these opening chapters, even stretching all the way back to the beginning of the book, the need for great care, great carefulness with regard to the tabernacle. Everyone is supposed to be doing the job that was prescribed for him so that nobody dies. The Levites are to encamp around the tabernacle so that there would be no wrath coming upon the sons of Israel. That's what we find in chapter 1, verse 53. And more than once in these opening chapters, we see that repeated refrain that the layman or the foreigner who comes near will be put to death. We find that in chapter 1, verse 51, chapter 3, verse 10, chapter 3, verse 38. The opening verses of chapter 3 actually remind us of two individuals who actually did die in connection with the tabernacle, namely Nadab and Abihu. That's found in Leviticus chapter 10. Even though they were not foreigners, they had, in a sense, a right to minister in the tabernacle, yet because they offered strange fire, they died before the Lord. And in connection with this, it's worth observing how in chapter 4, verses 5 through 15, as the Lord is giving the commands concerning what the Kohathites are to carry, we're told that it is the priests, Aaron and his sons, who were to go in and do the packing, so to speak. They were the ones who were supposed to go in and supposed to lay the coverings over everything and cover it up with porpoise skin and insert the poles and so forth. The priests were the ones who were supposed to cover up all of the holy furnishings that are described there. Why is that? Well, we find it in verse 15. When Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy objects and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is to set out, after the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, so that they will not touch the holy objects and die. Right? And then you see even worse, perhaps, down in verses 18 through 20, where we are told about how they were to assign each man to his load. Then verse 20, but they shall not go in to see, not go in to see the holy objects, or they will die. Now this reminds us of the absolute holiness and purity of God. As the Lord had said on the day when Nadab and Abihu were killed, Leviticus 10:3, by those who come near to me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored. And though now, as we mentioned earlier, we have confidence now to enter into the holy place through the blood of Jesus, and though we are now reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ, we must never forget that God hasn't changed. He is still just as holy now as he was here. The terms of approach to God have been satisfied through Christ and have been applied to us by the Holy Spirit, but God hasn't changed. He's still holy, holy, holy. And we're reminded in Hebrews 10, 28 and 29, that since we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And so since God is a consuming fire, we're to show gratitude and thankfulness to him, and by that means we're to offer him acceptable servants. How? With reverence and with awe. We have been drawn near to God the Father in Christ, but we must reverence him and fear him in our lives, in our conduct, in our speech, in our attitudes, in our worship, because he is holy, because he is a consuming fire. He is the Lord God Almighty. And so let us seek to revere him and fear him as we ought. I can use the words of 2 Corinthians 7:1, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we live in a very irreverent age, and we ask, Lord, that this characteristic sin of our age would not rub off on us. Lord, that you would help us to see how holy you are, that we would treat you as holy, and therefore that we would be holy ourselves, that we would more and more turn from sin, turn to you, and walk with you. We praise you for the sanctification that is presently ours through Christ. Father, we ask that what is positionally ours would be progressively increased as we walk more closely with you, as we are enabled and strengthened to do so by your Spirit. We ask your help and your grace in these things. In Jesus' name, amen.